I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Top of the morning and welcome in live from West Palm Beach in Florida at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches where the Nationals are training this morning. At spring training, we are Grant and Danny. We will be here for the next 2 days, bringing you 8 hours of content from Nats Camp. Much of that content, conversation, discussion will be about your Washington Nationals. Today, before 2 o'clock, we will be joined by the manager of the ball club, Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, the ace of the staff. Steven Strasburg is going to be on Grant and Danny today. Live, we'll talk to Brian Dozier, new addition at second base with big-time power, and Ryan Zimmerman as well. And then tomorrow we'll have Mike Rizzo, Anthony Rendon, Adam Eaton, and many of these starters on this Nationals ball club. If you're a baseball fan, if you're a Nats fan, you will love these next couple of days. Heck, if you're just someone who's tired of the cold weather and the grossness that is Washington, D.C., and you want to, via your radio, travel to Florida where it's 82 degrees and we're wearing sunscreen right now, the next couple of days are going to be fun.
We didn't fake this. We got here somehow. I cannot believe it. I still am in shock, buddy, that Brendan and I's flight took off yesterday. No uncertain terms. 5,000 or so flights apparently got canceled over the course of the day. I've heard varying numbers, whether it's 1,200, 1,300 out of Reagan, whatever it was. All we had to do was wait 10 minutes to get de-iced, and we backed out of the gate and took off. Everybody else is sleeping at the airport. They were doing the Grant Paulson in Charlotte, but at Reagan, flights were delayed. We somehow got out seamlessly, got down here to West Palm Beach, enjoyed Din Din with you and our buddy Kyle last night. And we are here doing the show this morning. Already caught up in the clubhouse with Carter Kieboom, Anibal Sanchez, Andrew Stevenson, Howie Kendrick, Brian Dozier, Anthony Rendon. We've seen all the usual cast of characters you mentioned who's coming on the show today. We'll be chock full o' Nationals type coverage here from Palm Beach.
We had a delicious dinner last night. We chose a restaurant strategically to eat healthy. And then they accidentally brought me mashed potatoes with my steak and you French fries.
And it all came crashing down. I
mean, you ordered a burger, and you even ordered the damn thing on lettuce, not on a bun.
That's right.
That's how good we were trying to be, people.
That's right.
We're avoiding bread. We're avoiding all types of things. And then my steak with my asparagus also happened to have some mashed potatoes with it. And your burger with no fries had fries with it. And at that point, the universe has spoken. We're just two people. We're not adults who can make our own decisions.
No.
We don't have the self-control of, you know, a 39-year-old and a 30-year-old man.
Right,
we're just victims here who have been handed this food that we can't possibly turn down.
I challenge you all to keep smelling the fries and not eating those fries. So I failed that challenge, ate them all. Then, of course, now that I've already broken curfew, I don't come in at 12:01. I come home at 5 a.m. with a great story because I jumped off a cliff. I had a dessert that involved a brownie and some gelato. So the point is, the trip was already off the reservations. Whatever, man. Whatever. It doesn't count. I'm in Florida.
Why would it count? You're in a different zip code, right?
Yeah, different zip code.
Isn't that the rule? Isn't that how this works?
Listen, I'm no doctor. I just know that I ate fries and dessert last night. It was great.
Before we get to the things that our listeners care about, which is generally how you do the radio show, you talk about things that your listeners want to hear, I've got to do something just for me and for Danny. Thank you to our boss, Chris Kiner. We are in a really nice hotel. A year ago, you may remember here at West Palm Beach that we risked dying each time we went back to our hotel because we stayed at a place where we actually found on the internet that there had been a very serious criminal, like taken out of there by cops who they were chasing down.
Yeah,
we were propping our chairs up under the doorknob. We were hearing actual drug deals going down right outside of our window.
And
outdoor entry motel. We were getting phone calls at 1 in the morning asking if the kids were here, whatever that meant. It was a terrible place. It was very unsafe, and neither of us thought that if we had to do that again, we'd survive 3 or 4 nights in that hotel. But Chris Kiner stepped up to the plate. He made amends for previous mistakes. Our program director has us at the Hilton West Palm Beach, which is legitimately the nicest hotel in the area. There's pools. There's beautiful women. There's just, it seems like, all kinds of conventions happening. There are restaurants and bars and coffees that cost a lot of money. It's a really nice place.
It's very nice. It's very nice. And it is the positive opposite of where we stayed last year. It is its opposite. It is its they are diametrically opposed. The two places are, one's a negative 100, the other's a positive 100. So, yes, it feels, for a moment, just briefly, Grant, what it must feel like to wake up every day and be a junkie. That's what it feels. It feels nice, like you're appreciated. It feels like if we died, someone would notice. Last year, it was, well, they're a statistic. They stayed at that inn. They stayed at that one place where the homicides happen. They stayed at that one place where the drug deals go down and the hairs that stay in the bathroom despite cleaning own the place, not those guys. Today, it feels like Eric Bickle must feel when he walks into a room, and it feels good, and I like it.
It's a great feeling.
You know what I mean? When John Alva walks in the room, they go, "Cakes, nobody said my name last night," but it still felt like that, like I was appreciated. It's nice.
There's a couple things we want to hit on off the top here. So the first thing we can do, and there's not going to be a lot, frankly, on the show today that's non-Nats. We'll sprinkle in any news on football. Certainly the Capitals. There's a lot of swirling right now back in D.C. that they could have a trade in
the works.
That's
the word, is that it's swirling.
Carl Hagelin's name has come up. The Los Angeles Kings apparently involved with Washington. If and when news breaks, you'll hear it here on 106.7 The Fan, and we'll cover it in detail for you. But before we get into Landon Collins wanting to be a Washington Redskin, apparently, which I think is a big deal, I want to say something really quickly. And I'm going to try to word it in a way that makes it possible for it not to be taken out of context. I don't think Bryce Harper is a bad guy by any means. I've never thought that. I've always found him to be very professional and, for a superstar, very accommodating to people like you and I.
Especially in spring training. You
Absolutely.
Know, when we get down here, he's like, "What's up, guys? When do you want to chat?" I mean, just he's very open, forthcoming.
That having been said, I think when you have superstar players that make the amount of money that he's trying to make, in his case now $300-plus million, they get treated differently. They get treated differently by the front office. They get treated differently by the manager. They get treated differently by every person who works for the team. Whether they ask that or not, that's just how it works, right? Every time Bryce Harper's ever walked into a room, ever since he was on the cover of SI and he went first overall and he got out of high school early to go play JUCO wood bat baseball, he's been treated differently. My observation, having just been in the clubhouse for a few minutes, I think him not being around is actually going to be a very net positive for the Nationals clubhouse. I think you're going to be able even to perhaps be more accountable and maybe do more fundamental things very sound here at spring training. And it's not all to be blamed on Bryce Harper, but I think what you're seeing is this team is getting further away from a few years ago when you had guys like Jason Worth.
Yes.
Marching to the beat of his own drum. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. If I don't like what you do, I'll rip a clubhouse poster off the wall. That's not necessarily a good thing when young players are coming up in that clubhouse. Now it's a lot more Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Adam Eaton, Howie Kendrick. These are just your baseball rat, you know, kind of baseball lifer types. It is tangibly different. It's hard to contextualize this verbally for people that haven't been around the clubhouse. But when your old man now is Ryan Zimmerman, who's never going to ruffle a feather,
right?
And you do not have a bunch of rules for a bunch of different people, I think it can be a really healthy thing. And I guess the last way I would sum it up is I am curious to see if Harper does indeed never sign with Washington and moves on. I'm curious to see the clubhouse and the development of, you know, maybe a guy like a Rendon or an Eaton into a leader this year. They might miss Daniel Murphy. You know,
right.
That's the kind of guy that would fit in well in this group. But I do like the feel of the clubhouse this year, having been in it now for an hour and a half, more than I have in spring trainings in the past.
And people are going to take that as a shot at Bryce Harper, and they shouldn't, okay? But now, let's say for the sake of argument, no one's predicting anything, but just say, let's say the Nationals don't have a good season this year. Let's say injuries happen and it goes awry. Someone will be able to say, they need more jerks. They need more people that'll flip a table over. They'll need more people that are angry and will push guys. And if it goes great, they'll say, well, it's because everybody liked each other and got along. Nobody's saying there's anything wrong with Harp or Worth or any of those kind of guys. It's, I will say, I agree with you, just having been in there for 90 minutes just now, it is a looser, more approachable, fun kind of group,
in
right?
In general, just walking around, there are less what I would consider to be...
Less cliques.
Landmines. landmines where you're kind of like, okay, that guy can't be approached on this day. You know, that guy doesn't want anyone around him. It's just a bunch of dudes hanging out. An example I'll give you is Howie Kendrick was walking around the clubhouse. He kind of fancies himself an amateur photographer. And we're doing interviews with Carter Keyboom and a couple other guys we're just chatting with. And he's coming around and he's taking photos and he's showing them to Carter Keyboom. He's like, hey, you want me to send you this? This is kind of cool, you know, big league clubhouse getting interviewed. You got that type of guy in your clubhouse. Anibal Sanchez was just added. He was very close with Max Scherzer. They played together in Detroit. He's a mensch. I mean, everyone who's ever dealt with Anibal Sanchez will tell you just a really good locker room guy. Brian Dozier, the book on him, ran the Twins clubhouse. Super good dude. Now, when we chat with him, we could talk about his policies because he's Team America World Police, and he loves kind of the old guard baseball rules. Mm-hmm. But just such a good dude. Everybody loves that guy. And they went out and they got dudes like that. Yan Gomes is a first ballot Hall of Famer as a human being. I think that stuff matters a little bit over 162. This clubhouse has not been great over the years. We've talked about that. And they're transitioning closer and closer to something that I think resembles what will help them on the field when the going gets tough.
But gone for the most part, I think, finally, are the echoes of Jason Worth. Now, for all the positives that Worth brought, because he got this group out of the we're not contenders into the we belong, we are contenders, and we'll do things a certain way. He professionalized in a lot of ways the Nationals operation. But in terms of clubhouse accountability, you know, just, you know, dealing with the media and everything else, stuff that may or may not matter to some folks, and that's all well and good. A lot of the young guys came up with him as the unquestioned alpha dog in the clubhouse. And he's as standoffish and ornery, and you know, you can't find him most days to talk. And when you do, it's only to a couple select people, or he'll disrupt an interview when we're talking to a young player down at spring training, and kind of a cantankerous figure at times, right? Now all the echoes of Jason Worth are pretty much gone, if that makes sense. Last year it was still kind of like that, whether it was, you know, because of Bryce or others, but now it doesn't feel that way anymore. And it's interesting. I think it's a good observation by you, and I think it's right on. Again, it's not to take a shot at anybody that was here or may still be here. It's an observation, just, hey, this seems more approachable, friendlier.
And the Nationals would be a better team. They would win more games. They would have a better chance to win the World Series if Bryce Harper's here, even though I'm of the belief that they shouldn't go re-sign him. But that said, I would be willing to at least experiment with what is this clubhouse like without him. And I don't think he does anything to bring it on. I just think when you have a guy who makes $300 million, there's a reason every single docu-film that has been made about a band, there's always the lead singer riffing with other people, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're so popular and they get all the credit and all the attention. I think it's just natural. Where Grant and Danny are listening to The Fan, there is a report that Landon Collins, who's one of the best safeties in football, has been playing at a high level for the New York Giants over the last couple of years, is interested in playing for the Washington Redskins. We'll get into that next. Remember, a lot of Nats content today, live from spring training. We'll be joined by Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Brian Dozier, Ryan Zimmerman, among others. The fellas are all out on the field right now. You're listening to Grant and Danny, just underway on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Grant and Danny live on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back live at Nationals Spring Training. Ballpark of the Palm Beaches in West Palm, where it is over 80 degrees and we are wearing sunscreen. The way it's supposed to be in February. Hopefully the snow is melting back in the nation's capital. You guys are no longer having to de-ice the windshield. Supposedly it was supposed to be over 50 today, so all the snow is going to be gone.
Melt it away. We are live from spring training, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Yeah, so the de-icing we went through on the plane yesterday is going to happen naturally, apparently, up there. 50 degrees, melt that crap away, and let's get spring here, man. Let's get spring here.
Speaking of the spring, the Redskins' offseason is ongoing. Free agency looms in the draft shortly after that, and Landon Collins is apparently interested in coming to Washington. We'll sprinkle in some Redskins and NFL news over the course of these 4 hours, which will be dominated by the Nationals. We told you Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, new second baseman Brian Dozier, and Ryan Zimmerman are all going to be on the show as we continue today. But this Landon Collins to Washington intrigue is curious to me. Now remember, Landon Collins is one of a collection of safeties. Pretty much anybody his age who plays his position was enamored with Sean Taylor growing up, and I have to imagine that that's why. But Diana Rossini had a report that everybody's been picking up on that he apparently wants to play for the Washington Redskins, something that has been echoed by Josina Anderson, among others. Here's a tweet from Josina Anderson. I'm told that Giants safety Landon Collins cleaned out his locker today at the team facility and said his goodbyes to teammates, coaches, and trainers. It does not seem like Collins expects to be a Giant for much longer, according to sources. And that was as of yesterday at about 2:15 in the afternoon. So then you fast forward to the Rossini anecdote, and she says that Landon Collins says his dream is to be a Washington Redskin. That is his number one choice. That came out right around 1 o'clock yesterday after the news that he cleaned out his locker and it looked like the end of the road with the New York Giants. Here's why this is so fascinating to me. That was an old tweet, I guess, as I'm looking at this now. This is from February 21st of a few years
ago. Right, it's from a long time ago.
So this is before the draft. But I guess here's my point. Landon Collins wanted to be a Redskin at that time because he loved Sean Taylor. Now he probably just wants to go where he's going to make the most money, I would think. He probably just wants to go where he's going to get paid the most. But if he loved the Redskins organization before the draft, if he thought there was this romanticism about maybe wearing a number where he could play like and look like Sean Taylor, might that still be there? Could he still be interested if, in fact, he's going to be leaving the Giants like Josina Anderson is speculating?
I would certainly hope so. Then you combine the fact that it sounds like it's an acrimonious ending with the Giants. He cleaned out his locker, and somebody said, well, there's still some stuff left there. And he responded to that tweet and said, that stuff I don't need, bro, whatever the heck the quote was. You combine all those factors, wanting to stick it to your old team, love for Sean Taylor, initial affinity for the Redskins. The Redskins have the worst safety position in the sport. Oh, sign me up for this. Figure out how it fits. Go immediately. Fire up Redskins 1. Go to his home. Get everybody involved. Get all the schmoozers. Whoever you want, bring Schaefer to work out the contract details. Bring me Landon Collins immediately. The fastest, with the quickness.
4 seasons in the NFL. And this guy, 3 times in his first 3 seasons, was well over 100 tackles. He is a fast, athletic playmaking safety who's all over the field. He made 112, 125, and 104 stops his first 3 seasons. In fact, this past year, he was on pace to have more tackles than he'd ever had before. And that's just the impact he makes at getting people to the ground. Where he really separates himself from some of the other safeties in the league is on the back end making plays. You go back to 2016, he defended 13 passes and picked off 5 others. Now, last year was the first year he never intercepted a pass, and in fact, he defended fewer passes than he ever had before. He missed 4 games, played in a dozen. But even still, if you extrapolate out his percentages and his averages over the course of 16, he would have had a down year by his standards, somewhere around probably 7-8 passes defended and maybe an interception or 2. This is a guy who can play in the box. He can play deep. He can help you in the passing game. He's a premium free agent. I wonder if the Redskins would have mutual interest in actually paying him. I'm sure they like him. It doesn't take watching a lot of film to say, oh, yeah, we have no safeties. Monte Nicholson's projected to be a starter and was not on our team at the end of last season because he beat someone up at One Loudon. And we cut DJ Swearinger, and haha, Clinton Dix is not as good as Landon Collins and was terrible after we traded for him. But we're good. We don't need Landon Collins. That's not the conversation. The discussion they're having is, this is a guy that would start, that would be a major influencing, culture-changing presence in our secondary. How do we add him? But don't you think this guy's going to get paid bank in free agency?
The name rings out.
Outside of Josh Norman, and that may have been a mistake based on what's happened since, based on the money they gave him, who have they really backed up the Brink trucks for under Bruce Allen? They paid DeSean Jackson decently. They didn't give him massive money, but they gave him about $8 million a year, kind of the Paul Richardson, Pierre Garçon contract. Really, it's Norman. That's it. In terms of elite-level money, and if Landon Collins is going to get that as a upper-echelon talented safety, I got to imagine, Danny, that he might be out of their price range.
So you hope that maybe the last couple of years, lack of counting stats in terms of those picks and fumbles and those sorts of things may lower the price tag some, but I think the name rings out. People remember that 2016 team or that season where the Giants were second in the league in scoring defense. It's a lot of similarities to where the Redskins' defense is now, believe it or not. They had a few good guys up front, Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul, Jonathan Hankins, Snacks Harrison up there in his prime. That group up front was good. They didn't produce as many sacks as the Redskins' big three in the middle there, but generally creating pressure, guys that had that much time to throw, and he feasted. He was one of the best players in the NFL, had his breakout year in year number two. People still remember that. He's still a guy that's young enough where you go, right situation, ... And I think that name is certainly going to cost a premium. To me, this is such a position of dire need. This is such a good fit because he's, you know, only 4 years in the league. I believe he's 26. This, to me, is the most no-brainer of no-brainers. Now, I know it's not been their usual order of business to go bring in and spend high on guys, as you kind of just alluded to. But this is one of those marriage is too perfect. It makes too much damn sense. You want him to get revenge against the Giants. You have a huge need. Your best safety right now is DeShazer Everett, probably that's still under contract. Sign me up for Landon Collins.
Here's the way I think we need to ask this, because everybody's going to want him. Again, he's a great player. You want great players. Would you be willing to give him a contract that makes him one of the highest paid safeties in the league to sign him if you're the Washington Redskins? That's the question. 800-636-1067 is the number. We won't have a lot of time to take non-Nats calls today, but while the players are still on the field before we start chatting with Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Brian Dozier, and Ryan Zimmerman, maybe we could take some calls on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines next. 800-636-1067 is the number. Level of interest in Landon Collins. Do you think it's realistic he would come here? He said before the draft he wanted to be a Redskin. That was his dream number one scenario. Do you think that's still the case this many years and a lot of losing later? You're listening to The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're Grant and Danny. We are live at Nationals Spring Training thanks to Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Brian Dozier, Ryan Zimmerman among the Nationals. Players and members of the coaching staff will be on the show today. We are looking forward to those conversations live from West Palm Beach. But right now, the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are yours. Landon Collins sounds like he's on his way out of New York. The report yesterday was that he packed up his things at the team facility and hit the exits as if he's not coming back. Via Josina Anderson. A lot of people looked back on Diana Rossini's pre-draft nugget when she talked to Landon Collins that the Redskins were his dream scenario, that he wanted to play for them, he wanted to follow in the footsteps of Sean Taylor. That's dated and antiquated, kind of archaic news at this point. He's become one of the best safeties in the NFL, though, and they have a major need at safety. As Danny pointed out, he might want to play the Giants a couple times a year. So here's what we're asking you, 800-636-1067. If it takes paying him elite-level money, and at the safety position, Eric Berry makes $13 million a year.
That's your gold standard there.
Rashad Jones makes $12 million. LaMarcus Joyner of the Rams is at $11.2 million. Harrison Smith of the Vikings, an annual Pro Bowler, is right around $10.2 million. Earl Thomas with the Seahawks has been making $10 million. If you've got to sign him for upwards of $12 million a year, would you do that? Everybody knows they need him, and he'd be a great fit. So, of course, you want to bring him in. Are you willing to pay him what it would take to do so? That's the question. Danny, would you give him 4 years and $48 million and guarantee him in the first 3 years of that deal?
In a heartbeat, absolutely. I pay him like I paid Devin McCourty, or I paid Cam Chancellor, or Tashaun Gipson, Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, Tony Jefferson. I'd rather have him than all those guys. I am paying him star money to come in and fill an enormous need. It doesn't change my approach in general. that I got to build through the draft. I got to acquire as many picks as possible.
You'd have very little cap space after that.
I know. I will create it. I'm creating it by getting rid of Josh Norman. I'm moving on from Vernon Davis. I'm moving on from dozens of guys. I'm going to figure it out. This shouldn't be happening. The Giants are making a mistake. They are doing something foolish. I don't know why they're doing it, but they're doing it. There's acrimony now. Please take advantage of that. Please swoop in and tantalize him with the chance to shove it on his former employers. This is a golden opportunity. Please land Landon Collins.
Offensively, I'm a believer in you can win with scheme. Now, you can bring in. It's why everyone's looking for the next Sean McVay. A savvy coach, cerebral guy with a great paradigm for football and ball movement, and a guy who can design you an offense. And you can win with a little bit lesser quarterback, Jared Goff, or you can win with, you know, wide receiver that you like more than the place he was in last, where you're going to use him smart, Robert Woods. Defense is about players. It's about just having heat-seeking missiles. And he is one. I'm with you. You need talent on that side of the ball. Go get me talent. Sign that guy. Let's go to line one. Danny's in D.C. Danny, how is the weather there? I know it's not 80 and you're not wearing sunscreen like we are, but it's a little prettier than it was when we left, right?
Yeah, it's getting there. The snow came and the snow rain kind of came and left, and the streets are clear, but about
all right, we'll take it.
45 degrees.
Too bad. So I think for the Landon Collins, I don't know if we could do it with having Josh Norman still on the roster. But I think for me, and I want you guys to chime in on this, please. I'm really concerned with, like, the draft evaluation as to why we constantly miss on players, like, just don't even bring them in. Like, why we have the guy, well, I can't remember his name, that running back over the Alvin Kamaras, why we don't have, like, the Dak Prescott, or even, like, the Antonio Browns and the Le'Veon Bells. Like, it's really interesting that we never really hit on, like, big talent ever.
I'm not sure that I completely agree with that. Thanks for the phone call. I think the Redskins' draft history recently has been pretty good. I would say middle of the pack. I mean, you'd have to evaluate 32 teams to get a real feel for where they stack up. But Jamison Crowder was a fourth-round pick, as an example, and was a success story. Spencer Long, who just got cut by the Jets, has now been signed by two teams to decent contracts since he left here, was a third-round pick. They've gotten production from second-round picks like Preston Smith, who's considered right now one of the top 15 free agents in football, whatever you think of him. In terms of the late-round value grabs, I thought Kyshawn Jarrett had an unbelievable rookie year as a sixth-rounder, had a crippling injury for the remainder of his career. You know, Kendall Fuller was a third-round pick, had a big season. They helped bring in a quarterback by trading him. He's become a starter now on a team that made the AFC Championship game. So,
to me, this is a bag, I would say, at best. The Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen's, but other than that, you're looking at a lot of Jerron Christians, a lot of misses, a lot of...
Yeah.
You're missing on the high impact. Oh, my God, I can't believe they found him. Like, listen, New Orleans lucked into Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Right? They didn't know. If they didn't know him, they'd have taken him in the first round. The Redskins haven't had one of those. They haven't had a... Now, Fuller's a nice player.
They haven't picked in the top five, though.
Well, no, But, I mean, a third rounder that turns into a superstar.
Okay.
They haven't had the
I think
the
those
home
are rare.
Run. And I think those are rare, but the lightning hasn't struck for them, it sounds like.
They had a sixth rounder who rushed for 1,600 yards a few years
they
ago.
They did?
They're probably the only team that can say that, Alfred Morris. You know, their first rounders the last 2 years have been great. Jonathan Allen is going to make a bunch of Pro Bowls, and Daron Payne is, I would think, eventually going to be in both Pro Bowls, a really good player. Now, you can always say, why didn't you take Derwin James? But there's a Alvin Kamara. There's one of those guys. So, yeah, are they the best at it? I don't think they are. They fired a general manager in Scott McLuhan. After a couple of years, they've moved on from him. Their general manager, in air quotes now, is a guy that has basically the title of running a front office but really doesn't in Doug Williams. They're run by a guy who's not a football person, is a business person in Bruce Allen. With all that being the case, you're not going to have the cleanest draft process and football operation probably. Back to the topic at hand, though, would you sign Landon Collins for a lot of money? One thing the last caller said I thought was interesting, Josh Norman.
Yeah.
Said you can't do both. You're probably right.
Yep.
I'm moving on from Josh Norman. I made that decision a while ago.
Yeah, I'm doing that regardless of Landon Collins. With or without Landon Collins, I'm doing that. I'm not going to get that production. That's not going to come true.
800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. Kyle is in Fairfax on G&D. On the Fan. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Hope you're enjoying that awesome weather while we suffer. I think signing Landon Collins is almost a no-brainer. I think the only argument against him at that kind of money would be that he's more of a box safety. But all the pros going for him are check marks for this team. One, they want to keep signing guys from Alabama, and he has no character concerns the way DJ Swearinger did, and he's a much better player. He's also 25 years old. So if you're going to put a lot of money into a player, I want someone who is not going to fall off 3 years from now when this team is likely going to need 3 or 4 years to get significantly better the way we want them to. And then you need to consider the overall factor that the only real promise that this team has is a front seven on defense. You don't waste that talent while these guys are up and coming and Daron Payne and John Allen under their rookie deals by going cheap on the secondary. If you want to make your defense elite, then invest in the secondary and get a safety and finish the job. Don't just start it and then cheap out in the back end.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And
it was
a problem they had last year because, you know, Allen and Payne can be rendered less relevant if the secondary is not holding up its end of the bargain. But you're right about Collins at 25, entering year 5 out of Alabama. He's entering the prime of his career now. You go back to the last couple games he played before he got hurt against the Bears, he had 20 tackles and broke up a couple passes in the games against the Bucs and the Eagles, you know, a Philly team within the division that you're going to be playing twice this coming season. Do you want to make Landon Collins one of the highest-paid safeties in the league? Do you want to take up a huge portion of the limited cap space you've got because of the Alex Smith penalty, as we call it on this show? 800-636-1067. Your calls on Grant and Danny live from West Palm Beach at Nats Camp on the Fan. I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is the Fan, and you are listening live because it's radio and you can to West Palm Beach spring training coverage on your flagship home for the Washington Nationals. Brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. We are talking to Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, and many other Nats stars as this day continues. Right now at 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, we're wrapping up our calls on the speculation that Landon Collins could be interested in signing with the Redskins. Collins has played the last 4 years with the Giants as one of the best safeties in the conference. The Giants have been worse than Washington over these 4 years. This has been a really bad operation. They were 5-11 this past season under Pat Shurmur in his first year. And you go back before that, when Ben McAdoo was their head coach and got fired after a 2-10 start, they finished the year under Steve Spagnuolo for the campaign. They went 3-13 and picked in the top five and got Saquon Barkley. In 2016, they were terrible offensively, and they finished, again, a impressive 11-5 only because of a number one defense that Landon Collins was in the middle of. Should you push the chips in the way that you did for Josh Norman and break glass in case of emergency for a major free agent signing, which this team does so rarely, for Landon Collins? Is he worthy of that treatment? Danny and I both say yes. Let's go to Chudy in D.C. on line two. What's going on, man? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks. And how you guys doing? And Danny, congrats to making that slate, man. Congrats.
Thank you, brother. I still can't believe it happened.
I'm impressed. Him and Dar, man, yeah. They did it.
Yeah. So to Landon Collins, like, you know, I agree. You got to go all in. I mean, for years and years, it's always been the safety position that's dogged the Redskins. And if there's a time for an emergency, this is the one that you got to do it. I mean, yes, you can look back on that 4-year tweet and say, hey, he was interested before. Why not do it? We got to do it right now. And, you know, whatever it takes to get like an actual, legitimate, still skilled free agent, that's what you need to do. So thanks for the call. Enjoy Florida.
Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated. Sweet of you to say. Danny, if you're going to have the philosophy that you are cheap, as I call it,
yep,
or frugal, or smart, as Bruce Allen would call it,
yeah,
you need to still occasionally decide it's worth it to go get the big fish. If you don't occasionally try to reel in the monster underneath of the surface, it's not worth the rest of the time when you're cheap.
Yeah, it's the, you know, it's the Sean Parker. Do people hold a bunch of small fish up in a photo over their fireplace? No, they're holding a 1,000-pound marlin. That's
that
what
the
they're
guy
doing.
From Napster.
Yeah, the guy. It's and then he, of course, was influential over Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network.
Oh, okay.
Justin Timberlake played the part. So the point of the dude's story is that my philosophy will never change about building a football team. The most important thing to do is to acquire as much young, controllable, efficient talent as possible. That's how you build football teams. That's how you stay successful. It's the only way. There's one blueprint. That doesn't matter which position you're emphasizing, okay? But the you must major in the lifeblood of your team. The core of your team must be acquired in the cheapest possible fashion because it's a salary cap league. That means the draft. Every so often, you must supplement. I'm under no illusions that this will help the Redskins win more than 6 or 7 games next year. That's not the point. I need talent. I need building blocks. I need members of my core that are acquired differently. That's one. I break glass because this doesn't happen very often.
And it's not Landon Collins' job to win 9 games next year.
Right.
In the same way, by the way, it's not a quarterback's job either, but there are certain positions that have a lot more to do with your win-loss record than others. Safety, in and of itself, is not necessarily one of them. That would just signify that you're starting to add some of the talent that it might take to actually have the caliber of defense that would allow you to put together a process to get back where you need to go in the way of being a playoff team. Let's go to Gus and Alexandria on line 3 on Grant and Danny. Landon Collins has been playing for the Giants, wreaking havoc in the NFC East. If it takes making him a $12 million a year, $13 million a year safety, should the Redskins blow most of their savings to do that?
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Hello?
Gus, what's up, man?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, definitely. I would definitely go all in for Landon Collins. You know, he's going to be in the prime of his career. It would be a plus for us and a minus for the Giants, so that's a double win, getting that within division. I think outside of getting Kyler Murray with our first-round draft pick, we should invest in defense, make what looks like something that's going forward, strengthen that even more. And that'll give us something to rely on as we build this franchise up.
Let's go to Kenny in Northern Virginia. Keep the train on the tracks. Kenny, you're on Grant and Danny. Landon Collins loved the Redskins before the draft, went out, and you're not even supposed to do this, but said his number one choice would be to play in Washington. 4 years later, he's a free agent, and the Redskins need a safety. Do you think it makes sense?
Absolutely. We haven't had a playmaker in that position since Sean Taylor. I'd back the truck up to him, pay him what he wants, and then I'd turn around and trade our 15th pick to Arizona and pick up their rookie quarterback and put him on a quarterback rookie deal, and that way we answer two positions of needs right there.
You want to go get Josh Rosen?
I'll hire this guy as the GM. Thanks for the call.
At least he's wheeling and dealing, right?
Yeah, he's making moves. He knows that you got to have a kid quarterback contract to make it work if you're going to try to win in the NFL right now. We can get into Josh Rosen another time because that's a whole other debate and a whole other conversation. Frankly, I think it's one that's worth having because if the Cardinals at number one are going to consider Kyler Murray, then they should be in the market to trade Josh Rosen, and they would definitely do it for the 15th overall pick. And if the Redskins really are considering drafting a rookie there, if you like Josh Rosen more than you like Drew Lock, if you like Josh Rosen more than you like, I'm just throwing a name out
Daniel
there, but
Jones
Daniel Jones,
or, yeah,
then you should trade the 15th overall pick for Josh Rosen. But back for a second to Landon Collins. He mentioned the safety history. Madu Williams, Kareem Moore.
Don't do this, Greg.
Ashimago Atagwe.
No. Oh.
I mean, it goes back really to Adam Archuleta, but there was one short, brief episode in Redskins history where it looked like they'd solved this. You had drafted Sean Taylor in the top 10 in 2004. That was the Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers draft. You get Taylor right around the back end of the top 5 there. Then, 2 years later, you draft Laron Landry, also in the top 10 out of LSU. When Landry was playing with Taylor as Batman and he got to be Robin in the box, he was really, really good.
I'm telling you, he was good. People don't remember that he was good.
They forget because they remember him as a free safety
where he was
trying to be Sean Taylor, and that was not his game. He also got too big and too strong and not athletic and mobile enough. But that tandem had a chance for 7-8 years to wreak havoc. Other than that small window before the tragic death of Sean Taylor, it's been a lot of you name your safety that was supposed to have been the answer for a season and was not. It's been just plugging and playing Jags, and they've never been able to figure it out. The Wizards have been fighting to find a center for 25 years. Every team's got that bugaboo, that Eleanor, as I call it, where they just can't sort it out for whatever reason. For the Redskins, that has been the safety position. They thought they solved it with DJ Swearinger. That blew up in their face. This could be an answer. They've been searching for it forever.
They have. And, again, you've committed no resources to it, some resources to it. You've gone some free agents. You've gone, you know, a guy was okay in another system, or let's see if we can get something out of him. I mean, remember, they gave up a ton for Adam Archuleta, for goodness sakes. And he was a special teams guy by like week six or seven. They cannot get that spot right. You're absolutely right.
We were watching Duke, North Carolina last night at the restaurant, and a shoe exploded, and it looked like a guy who was supposed to go to the top of the draft board got hurt, and everyone collectively held their breath for a couple of minutes. We'll discuss that next. We've got to get into the Nationals live from spring training as well on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.